NerdErotic.com.
It's been a bad year for woke Hollywood, and it hasn't provided a lot of great entertainment outside of Tom Cruise, but it has provided a lot of content filled with unintended hilarity. Another year of virtue signaling, cringe, and outright stupidity. NerdErotic has put together a team possessing a special set of skills to crunch the numbers, pound the analytics, and follow the science to bring you the top five woke Hollywood disasters of 2022. And we start with number five. G4.
Morgan Webb, Olivia Munn did not exist to be nice on the eyes for you.
Well, hold up, wait a minute.
The legendary and original G4 and Attack of the Show are in the Nerd Hall of Lore for all of eternity. A show made by nerds, for nerds, came and went in a time before America had a stick lodged up its ass and it knew how to have this thing called fun.
My butthole has something to say. It is literally filled with all of the ocean water in Jamaica. It is probably the size of this microphone right now, and it's throbbing.
Time passed, then in 2020... venture capitalists and a multi-billion dollar corporation decided to invest in a relaunch in the worst time possible, current year. And it couldn't even last that.
We're scissoring all the way to the bank.
Millions of dollars, a 67,000 square foot studio, an attachment to an esports empire, including an esports stadium, influencers with agents, teams of writers, Kevin Pereira was brought back, and some bitter old dude with TDS.
I have no interest in my family members who are Republican and voted for Trump, that I don't plan to go see them ever again for the rest of my life.
Bruh.
We're all hired to compete against thousands of people on multiple platforms who are all doing the same thing better in their spare bedrooms. The message was explicitly clear. We are going to be a very different G4 that recognizes the sins of our past, and we are going to make sure that it doesn't happen again in regards to diversity, inclusion, and sexism. Considering what we know now, it wasn't long for this world.
Okay, so like people are always like, yo, G4 shut down because of this or that. And I'm like, bro, I was already sus with G4 shutting down from the interview process, because like the guy that was interviewing me, he goes, why do you believe we should cancel Batman? And I was like, why are we canceling Batman? He's like, because he's rich and he's white. And I was like, well, what do those two have to do with each other? Like, yeah, people believe that he just skates on the law, and that if someone of color did the same exact thing, they wouldn't get away with it like he does.
But what brought down this multifaceted organization attached to an esports empire and backed by venture capitalists and a multi-billion dollar corporation inside of a current year? A big mouth.
Sexism in gaming.
Every time G4 is brought up in various channels, even in this YouTube channel, we have the chat in front of us. I can see you. Without a doubt, there will be backlash because I'm not as bangable as the previous host. It's somehow...
Talk to him, Frost!
One big problem, though. It wasn't really about sexism at all. And in true woke employee fashion, it became your fault for calling Frost out on her inadequacies.
You're letting your unconscious biases ruin my day, and you're gatekeeping the gaming space.
Hey, she cooking, y'all.
And if it wasn't bad enough that her co-hosts and audience were all cheering Frost on while she was attacking the fans, she made an arguably bigger mistake, admitting that she doesn't play the games.
Here at XPlay, our reviews are written and produced by a team of people. There are too many games for one person to shoulder the burden, so we divide and conquer.
Bitch, are you for real?
The original G4 was built on authenticity. The new G4 was competing against authenticity, and Frost just admitted they weren't authentic, something gamers already knew. At first, there seemed to be support for Frost from the entirety of the G4 organization. Then there was Cope. They were caught botting their own chat on a live stream.
Look at this. No one is talking, but 30,000 people are supposedly there.
Then it all started to fall apart. Management fled. Employees laid off. In Frost's infinite wisdom, she decided to flex that she was still employed while her coworkers were being fired. And this should come as a surprise to absolutely no one. Not long after that, Frost was fired and G4 shut down for good. No one really knows how long G4 was going to last, but no one can doubt that the minute Frost Skurin opened her pie hole, the relaunch of G4 died.
If you don't like it, don't watch it. Peace.
It became a shining example of why you shouldn't hire psychopathic leftist employees and the very definition of get woke, go broke.
I'm at Comic-Con!
Number 4, Thor Love and Thunder.
Jane?
Coming off the success of Thor Ragnarok, director Taika Waititi said, "He will ruin your mythos in a minute, baby." And he wasn't kidding. Of course, an entry from Marvel Stage 4 would make our list, and it won't be the last, and quite frankly, it could fill it. But what makes this one special is we have the poster hero of the MCU.
For the first time, female Thor.
Could you repeat that, sir?
Female Thor.
First off, the name is Mighty Thor.
Introduced 3 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con when director Taika Waititi got on his knee and then handed her a Mjolnir that was half the size of her body. It was the early days of the MCU when we tried to warn you then. This is something we've all seen before in the comic books, and it became clear that Disney Marvel was willing to bypass decades of great stories that sold in the hundreds of thousands, sometimes in the millions, to get to stories that sold in the thousands and were eventually canceled. Fast forward to 2022, and what could have been a proper adaptation of a good storyline from the comics, Gore the God Butcher, gets butchered by Taika Waititi, mostly because they saddled the Thor film with female Thor and King Valkyrie, who has a lot in common with another woman king, enslaving people. Gore looking like crystal meth Uncle Fester didn't help either. And Thor Love and Thunder ended up being yet another Disney Marvel bait and switch with an awful story only matched by the abysmal CGI.
This.
Thor Love and Thunder did have one of the biggest openings, not adjusted for inflation, of the franchise, only to be followed by one of the biggest second week drops in Marvel Cinematic Universe history. What didn't help is director Taika Waititi and Tessa Thompson, who somehow manages to get a lot of work without being able to change her facial expression, clowning their own effects department.
Okay. Does that look real?
In that particular shot, no, actually.
Followed by a lot of shill cope, Hemsworth dissing director Taika Waititi and hinting he may not be back.
I don't know if I'm even invited back, but if I was, I think it would have to be a drastically different version.
Yeah.
Maybe it had something to do with Chris Hemsworth having to hit the gym every day and Natalie Portman could just roll in with her CG guns.
The magic of cinema.
Yes.
Take that, patriarchy. In the previous bait-and-switch MCU film, Doctor Strange Mom, which almost made our list, the titular character Doctor Strange was no longer the Sorcerer Supreme, playing second fiddle to Wong and pining for an ex-girlfriend, ultimately at the end of the film, learning that he needed to love. In Thor Love and Thunder, our titular character is no longer the King of Asgard, playing second fiddle to King Valkyrie, pining for an ex-girlfriend and ultimately, by the end of the film, learning that he needed to love.
Can I just get the craziest deja vu?
What made this particular bait and switch from Stage 4 stand out? They took an original Marvel Cinematic Universe hero, the Mighty Thor, gave a female character his name, and turned him into a parody of himself, a bumbling male himbo MCU character. That's why Thor Love and Thunder was a massive disappointment. Number 3, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It wouldn't be a proper list without Disney Star Wars, who promised the rematch of the century. Was it the lore-shattering Darth Vader fighting Obi-Wan Kenobi again? No. Pulling anger from the jaws of apathy, Disney managed to piss off the fandom just enough to kill Star Wars again. Apparently, Disney Star Wars knew they had an abomination on their hands because instead of waiting for the Disney Star Wars content to actually come out, they decided to make an enemy of the fandom first. Proving this was a not-so-well-crafted Lucasfilm fan-baiting narrative, they approached Moses Ingram first, telling her to expect some backlash. Not long after that, the actress who plays Reva cherry-picked three entire comments to craft the racist fandom narrative around.
Long story short, there are hundreds of those. Hundreds. Y'all weird.
This was followed immediately by a gaslighting tweet from the Star Wars account and then an impassioned car video from Ewan McGregor, whose acting performance in this was better than anything he did in the actual show.
It seems that some of the fan base from this influential fan base have decided to attack Moses Ingram online and send her the most horrendous racist DMs. And I heard some of them this morning and it just broke my heart. Moses is a brilliant actor. She's a brilliant woman. And she's absolutely amazing in this series. She brings so much to the series. She brings so much to the franchise. And it just sickened me to my stomach to hear that this had been happening. I just want to say, as the leading actor in the series, as the executive producer in the series, that we stand with Moses. We love Moses. And if you're sending her bullying messages, you're no Star Wars fan in my mind. There's no place for racism in this world.
Oh, goodness. Thank you very much.
And just like that, the racist fandom narrative is set. And now you're not just watching another piece of content on Disney Plus. You're fighting racism by watching Kenobi. Unfortunately for Disney Plus, Kenobi was released, and it was the fourth most popular thing that week, finishing behind Top Gun, Stranger Things, and the Depp Heard trial.
Consider him forgotten.
And it only got worse. At best, this could have been a good show about a guy who babysits a quitter. Unfortunately, it turned into a quitter who babysits a quitter. It's not like there isn't a very popular book they could have based the show on. Too bad Lucasfilm shit-canned the EU. But that's okay, because he wasn't really the main character in his own show. The biggest problem, aside from all of the established lore shattering, the central characters were Reva and Little Leia in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. A contrived show filled with detestable dialogue. The acting was worse.
The Empire doesn't take kindly to Jedi sympathizers.
He will come for me.
Oh. Obi-Wan is dead.
And the rematches of the century were sloppy and in the dark. And we can't decide which is worse. Obi-Wan leaving Luke twice in the same series, Reva knowing where Luke is and being allowed to live, a 10-year-old who runs like a toddler outrunning adults in multiple scenes, or the Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi having trouble getting around a fence. Either way, by the time it was all over, it was as if millions of fans cried out in exasperation and were suddenly silenced by falling back into apathy. Am I right, Andor?
Who?
Number 2, She-Hulk.
That'll do.
It's trash.
You may have noticed a running theme here with our list. Making an enemy out of your fans, She-Hulk decided to take it one step further by making the antagonist of She-Hulk you.
Was it always the plan to have toxic fandom as the season's villain? And can you talk to me about the irony of seeing that play out in the real world, knowing that it was the big bad of the season?
The little troll that lives inside of me was utterly delighted that we were able to troll the troll.
Hardy har har. All right, picture this.
Well.
Marvel is indeed dying, and it appears that the MCU phase bore has metastasized into stage 4 with She-Hulk. What's different this time was Jennifer Walters' She-Hulk was a very popular character from the comics.
Gee, I wonder why.
Unlike characters like Ironheart, Miss Marvel, and Captain Marvel. Disney Marvel set out to make a self-referential, fourth-wall-breaking legal superhero dramedy. Sounds good, right? The only problem is this team of writers, and yes, it took multiple people to write something this bad, had no experience with legal dramas, or superheroes. A show reflecting the Los Angeles they live in today, minus all the homeless people. Of course, they have to drastically change the origin from the comics where Jennifer Walters saves Bruce Banner instead of the other way around to preserve the female protagonist's agency.
You know, the character is a role model, right? She's rad, and we get to see her come into her own power.
Leaving our titular character free to be a slut and drink herself to sleep every night. Sending Jennifer Walters on the hero's journey, which is no journey at all because she's already great at being a lawyer and she's a better Hulk than the Hulk.
No more! I yield!
All culminating into another inane piece of content on D+. Zero narrative structure, cringe dialogue.
I'm great at controlling my anger. Mm. I do it all the time. When I'm catcalled in the street, when incompetent men explain my own area of expertise to me, I do it pretty much every day, because if I don't, I will get called emotional or difficult, or I might just literally get murdered. So I'm an expert at controlling my anger because I do it infinitely more than you.
Go wash your tits.
Horrific effects. That's not an uncanny valley. That's an uncanny singularity. What puts Jessica Gao's She-Hulk so high on our list is the outright character assassination, beginning but not ending with Jennifer Walters, the She-Hulk. Wong. Abomination.
It's really an honor to be your humble life coach for the evening.
Destroying Planet Hulk.
I have someone here that I'd like you all to meet. This is my son, Scar.
Ah, look at the top of his head.
At this point, it's safe to say character assassination is on brand for Disney Marvel, but the worst crime against imagination was ruining the best show and best character this company has ever created on television. Daredevil, who should take a walk of shame for being in this.
Look at the mask of my boy.
We really, really, really struggled with the finale.
No shit!
By the end, the show was meaningless, and yes, that was supposed to be the joke, but Jessica Gao and her team of morons actually managed to pull it off. A show about a vapid narcissist by vapid narcissists. There was nothing reflecting the law in this drama, nothing dramatic about the superheroes, and nothing funny about the comedy. Except, of course, for all the unintended laughter. She-Hulk managed to create a path of creatively bankrupt destruction of the likes we have never seen, proving who Disney Marvel really thinks the villains are. You, the paying customer.
3 years ago, we knew what they were going to say to something in 3 years. And they did it every week. And it was so funny when the show first came out and they were saying all the things that I knew were going to be in the third episode. And I just sat back and waited.
Ultimately, crapping out the worst thing Disney Marvel has ever produced, topping off a year of MCU failures. Before we get to the number one woke Hollywood disaster of 2022, we have some very worthy dishonorable mentions. Halo. After years spent in development hell, Paramount Plus, the streaming service that gave us STD, gave Halo fans the three things they actually never wanted to see: a bait and switch, Master Chief's face, and Master Chief's ass. Bros, one of Hollywood's biggest flops that managed to pull off The Impossible, a romantic comedy so bad gay people didn't want to watch it. Woman King, which apparently opened to strong numbers on the worst box office weekend in 25 years. A historical drama of female empowerment, proving that women of color can enslave their own people too. Girls get it done. Black Panther Wakanda Forever. The sequel is about two fictional marginalized countries going to war with each other over the ultimate prize. Who is the most marginalized? In one corner, we have the Talokans, who were supposed to be the Atlanteans led by Namor, who looks and acts nothing like the character he's based on in the comics, going from the avenging son to
the boy who lived without love.
Facing the Wakandans, who just lost their mighty leader, Black Panther, and of course, women most affected. Henry Cavill leaving The Witcher over the showrunner and her team's disrespect and mockery of the lore, killing any possibility of this becoming a franchise for Netflix overnight. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, a bait and switch of monumental proportions and a movie so bad Sam Raimi couldn't save it. The Doctor Strange sequel with the acronym MOM was actually a sequel to WandaVision. After enslaving an entire town of men, women, and children and then being allowed to get away by Monica Rambeau, Wanda goes off to murder multiple people in multiple dimensions for her imaginary children. All in pursuit of America Chavez, somehow the natural daughter of two women from a place called Utopia, who accidentally had her mom's sucked through a portal that she created after being stung by an interdimensional space bee. Disney. After a year of MCU failures, Disney Star Wars duds, and multiple flops, including Strange World and Lightyear, getting involved in politics and losing billions in streaming, I guess it should be no surprise that they fired their CEO, Bob Chapek, while he was at an Elton John concert in the middle of the night on a Sunday, and replaced him with Bob Iger, the architect of all of these failures.
Give me the meat and give it to me raw.
Why didn't you say so?
In any other year, everything on our list would be worthy of the top spot if it wasn't for Amazon's billion-dollar disaster. Number one, The Rings of Power, one failure to rule them all. In hindsight, Amazon really should have known that once the guy got caught pissing in the corner at their trailer premiere, they were in for a long year. Every single Rings of Power teaser trailer, clip, or promotional clip ratioed into oblivion. And because we here at Nerdrotic are happy to provide services you didn't know you needed, we did the math for you. The total ratio at time of recording out of 47 videos uploaded on Prime Video's YouTube channel is 489,326 likes to 4,091,260 dislikes, not counting the over 1 million YouTube deleted. Amazon getting caught deleting thousands of comments on YouTube. YouTube getting caught deleting millions of dislikes. The very scripted and cringe UK Superfans video being unlisted. This was all in the first month of the promotional rollout, and it was all downhill from there.
Every time I look at something, it looks like it could be improved. You know, there's something wrong with it.
Setting out to improve on Tolkien, Amazon Studios chief Jennifer Salke says the Rings of Power series needs a giant global audience. Elaborating on this statement and being far more specific, the Rings of Power producer Lindsay Weber said it felt only natural to us that an adaptation of Tolkien's work would reflect what the world actually looks like. Followed by an unintentionally honest statement from showrunners J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, who called the show the novel Tolkien never wrote. Which is true, because he would never write this garbage. Not to be outdone, the woman who kept calling herself the first female dwarf when she wasn't, Sophia Nunvetti, said the Rings of Power would be a necessary redress of balance. Taking one of the most accessible stories of all time, having sold over 150 million copies, published in multiple countries, translated into multiple languages, and making it inaccessible in the name of accessibility.
Did you have some kind of mechanism, in a sense, so that you could make sure that you were true to Tolkien?
Well, we didn't want to put any of our own, certainly in terms of the thematic material, we didn't want to put any of our own baggage. I mean, we had no interest in putting our messages into this movie, but we thought that we should honor Tolkien by putting his messages into it.
The news eventually came out that Peter Jackson was willing to be involved, and Amazon ghosted him. Amazon used all of their money and influence to incorporate influencers, YouTubers, professors, scholars, and shills. Also, they could assist Amazon's marketing department in weaponizing inclusivity and diversity against the Tolkien fandom, all resulting in the most historic trolling of the likes entertainment has never seen, using the ultimate weapon, mockery and memes.
All right, folks, my name is Daryl Weathers, and I'm with the Construction Workers Union. I work with a lot of fine men who have families to feed. I don't know about y'all, but we worked long and hard to get our pay up to a level where we can make a decent living.
And these knife-ears took our jobs.
Yeah, they took our jobs.
Even Elon Musk got in it. Just when Amazon thought it couldn't get any worse, they actually released the show on the anniversary of Professor Tolkien's death. Prior to the billion-dollar disaster's eventual release, fans predicted a focus on inclusivity, diversity, and intersectionalism, partially because Amazon told us diminished male characters, a focus on original characters that reflect the Los Angeles that they live in today, in a fantasy, no Celeborn, CW writing, and a warrior Galadriel leading an army of Numenoreans. We were told the Rings of Power is going to upset Tolkien purists, and that's a good thing. And what we got was a very inclusive, diverse, intersectional focus on girl bosses with diminished male characters. No Celeborn, CW writing, warrior Galadriel, and yes, a lot of pissed off Tolkien purists. What makes the Rings of Power top our list is this was Woke Hollywood's One Ring. To subvert them all, they spent $58 million an episode for a show with the first elves of color who actually weren't, the first dwarves of color who actually weren't, and the first Harfoots of color who are actually hobbits, all to bring the necessary redress that reflects the modern Hollywood they live in today to desecrate one of the most beautiful stories ever written. Activists have been circling this franchise for years like foul beasts. Unfortunately for them, once they got their claws into it, they had no idea what to do. It turns out the activists who inhabit corporate woke Hollywood, who is now in the thralls of big tech, are incapable of adapting Tolkien. Their beliefs are antithetical to the devout Catholics' work. They wouldn't know heroism, inspiration, and beauty if it sat in between Galadriel's legs. The fans knew this from the start, and so did Amazon, so that's why they decided to end it as they began it, by attacking you, the patently evil Tolkien fan. I don't hate to break this to you, Amazon. You are the Melkor of this story. You struck the discord in the song of Tolkien's creation. And the victorious Tolkien fandom wasn't having it, and they mocked you right back into the fiery chasm from whence you came. That's our list, folks. The top five woke Hollywood disasters of 2022. Hollywood's worst year as far as content produced in Hollywood's worst era. Streaming failures, fired CEOs, sinking stock prices, shrinking box office, and audience scores that are getting so low they might actually reflect the percentage of the population these shows and films are made for. If you don't agree with our list, tell us in the comments section below or even make your own. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And as always, you can see another video right now.